for our world. And he comes to save those whom he describes as lost. It's not fashionable nowadays to speak of people as lost. But Jesus spoke in this way about those who've become separated from God, those who've gone astray from him in one way or another, those who've wandered off in the same kind of way that sheep can wander off from their shepherd. It's every parent's nightmare, isn't it? Someone was telling me up at St. Peter's about an experience that he'd had after I'd spoken up there earlier this morning. And every parent's nightmare that children will wander off and get lost. I can remember this happening to us. We were in a terrible panic in a big shopping center in France. And, it sent us into such a panic. And it's the same kind of thing that Jesus is talking about here. Children, God's children, wandering away from their heavenly Father and thus being lost to him. As I say, Jesus isn't frightened to use the word lost, and you may remember, if you've been doing Luke in Lent, the three stories about the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son. And Zacchaeus is a prime example of someone lost to his heavenly Father. Now, it may not have appeared like that on the surface, because Zacchaeus had quite a lot of things going for him. He got a steady job, he got a house, maybe he got a family as well, and he were told that he was wealthy, and so presumably he was living in quite a lot of comfort and enjoying a standard of living when compared to other people in his city. But there was a downside to all this, because much of Zacchaeus' wealth had been gained through dishonesty. And what he did, at least we can presume that he did, along with many other tax collectors, was that he lined his own pockets with some of the money that he was collecting on behalf of the Roman government. And it was standard practice in those days that he and other tax collectors, they would cream off some of the money that they were collecting on behalf of the government and put it in their own pockets, and presumably he did that whenever opportunity arose for it. We know that he was a cheat because he says so later on in the story. So he'd grown rich through dishonesty. And it may be that making money had become the most important thing in his life. Perhaps money had become his God, God with a little g. Now, let me say, it does not mean that it's wrong to earn money, to spend money, to save money. The Bible never says that. In fact, when you think of it, money is essential, is it not, to our daily lives and all that we have to do day by day, week by week. It is a misquotation of the Bible to say that money is the root of all evil. The Bible does not say that. What the Bible says, in one of the letters of Timothy, I can't quite remember the verse, what the Bible says is, it is the love of money that is the root of all evil. And perhaps Zacchaeus had a love of money. And of course that has got huge relevance to our national life and to our personal lives. Zacchaeus was creaming off the money. People would have known that. Not surprising that he was hated and despised by many people, alienated from many of his fellow citizens. And most of all, and most important of all, he was alienated from God. And perhaps he, like many other people, both outside and inside the Christian church, had some inward sense of feeling lost, which may account for his evident desire to see who Jesus was. Doubtless Zacchaeus had heard something about Jesus and his message before Jesus came to Jericho, and Zacchaeus said to himself, I must go and find out more. I want to see who this person is. Not just Zacchaeus, who was lost and away from God, countless other people as well. Do you remember those words in the Old Testament? Some of you will have learnt this verse. All we like sheep have gone astray. It is our natural tendency to drift away from God, either by deliberate choice or perhaps by ignoring him and without thinking too much about it. And this is the basic problem of the world, that we human beings have not only become alienated and separated from one another in so many ways, the evidence of that is right in your Sunday papers, isn't it, on the television, but more importantly, we are alienated from God. That is the natural tendency of man and woman. There is a lostness about human beings, a lostness about a world that's gone astray from God. That is not a popular truth today. It's not a fashionable thing to say today. But we will never understand the search and rescue mission of Jesus, the search and rescue mission of God, unless we first of all understand why it's necessary. We will never understand the good news of the gospel until we first understand the bad news about the human race. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And Jesus demonstrates this wonderfully by inviting himself into the life and into the home of Zacchaeus. Why he picked out Zacchaeus up in the tree there, I just do not know. There must have been hundreds of people in the crowd. Jesus picks out Zacchaeus. It's a mystery to me. It's a mystery to me why Jesus healed this person, one individual, and seemingly passed by other people. It's one of the things I want to ask God about when I get there. Somebody said to me, and helpfully, that the reason he picked out Zacchaeus was to demonstrate what he wants to do for everybody to seek and to save. And Jesus wants to come into the life of all who will welcome and receive him, and he wants to bring his saving power. He wants to bring his rescue to as many people as possible, with all that this means and implies. In other words, Jesus Christ wants to bring God's forgiveness. He wanted to forgive Zacchaeus. He wants to bring new life and reconciliation to God. He wants to bring his ongoing help and power in all the struggles of life. And he wants to bring the hope of heaven so that his rescue has an eternal dimension to it. That's all summed up in those words. Today, salvation has come to this house. Salvation is a huge word. It's as big as the Bible itself. And, well, we're going to hear much more about it from week to week. We have to look at other parts of the Bible to fill it all out. And there can be no doubt that when Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house, there was far more conversation than we find just recorded in these few verses of our gospel reading. We don't know too much about their conversation, but we do know that Zacchaeus welcomed Jesus with great gladness. And we know that Zacchaeus said some very remarkable things which showed clearly that he wanted to be found, to be forgiven, and he wanted to turn from the old way of life to begin a new life with Jesus. And his words about giving half of his possessions to the poor and about fourfold repayment to all those whom he cheated, they were truly startling words. Some of you know, I think, that my favourite game is golf. I look at Nick Shepherd here. We've had great games of golf, Nick, over the years, and I look forward to another one. And in the paper the other day, there was a picture of a man playing golf, and playing golf very well. And he was walking unaided round the course, and for those of you who don't know this, a round of golf is approximately 5 miles of walking, and he was walking all round the course quite unaided. But there was a problem, a big issue about all this, and the reason that the picture was in the paper was that this same man was receiving tens of thousands of pounds of public money on the basis that he had some injury or other, he said he had, and it left him unable, so he said, to walk more than 50 yards. And there he was playing golf to a handicap of 7 and winning club championships. Now just imagine that that same man had a meeting with Jesus Christ. Let's say we know this man and that he's a bit of a character in our local community. Say this man became a Christian. Say he became converted and he stood up and put it in the local paper that he was going to give half of his wealth to the poor. He was going to sell his house and give half the value to the poor, to Oasis, perhaps. And he would also repay the 4 times the amount of all the money that he'd received by making those false claims. That would make quite an impact, wouldn't it? It really would. This tax collector well known for creaming it all off, was going to completely change his way of living and the way he dealt with money and acquired it and spent it. That would make quite an impact. And it all illustrates that the search and rescue mission of Jesus is about changing the lives of individuals, but also about changing the life of the community as well. Somebody once put it this way, that when someone finds a better way to live, the whole world is changed. The whole world is changed, yes, maybe in a minuscule way, but the world is changed for the better. And when more and more people like Zacchaeus turn from a life of greed and fraud to a life that is truly Christian, the ripples of that extend out more and more to reach more and more people in a way that benefits rather than harms them. Zacchaeus had got the message that being saved and rescued by Jesus means a change in lifestyle. We don't know more about Zacchaeus because the Bible doesn't tell any more about him. But I hope it's true that he continued as an active Christian, working out the implications of what it means to be rescued by Jesus and to live for him. And being rescued by Jesus, it's not just about an initial meeting with Jesus. That's where it begins. But it's meant to be something that is continuing as God changes us. Christ changes us by his power as we journey on in all the struggles and joys of life. And I find myself praying this morning that although I may have been a Christian for 60 years or more, I will know in my present situation today more of the saving power of Jesus Christ in the changing circumstances of life. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Son of Man, who seeks and saves those who are lost. He's doing this every week in our own generation as tens of thousands of people all around the world respond to him, perhaps for the very first time. I've said it before in this church. Doesn't seem like this in Western Europe, but tens of thousands of people every week become Christians. And tens of thousands, millions of people continue every week in the Christian life. And we are to know, if that is our state, that more and more of the saving power of Christ. Yes, we can trust him to save both us and other people as well. And one of the ways that Jesus Christ continues with his search and rescue mission today is that he does it through people like you and me. He uses us as his agents, his messengers, his servants in sharing in his rescue and search mission. Doesn't mean that you and I, we are to go around in some superior way, nobbling people and saying, I'm saved and you're not. That's not a loving way of sharing in the rescue mission of Jesus. No, as somebody once said, the way in which we're to share in the search and rescue mission of Jesus is the way of one hungry person telling another hungry person where to find bread. That's a great picture, isn't it? One hungry person telling and showing another person where to find bread. So Jesus comes to you and to me. He invites us to welcome him. Maybe there's someone here who needs to welcome him for the very first time. But to go on welcoming him every day of our lives. And he also calls us, his church, to share in this ongoing mission of search and rescue. May we do this more and more so that today and also in the lives of others, we will see the living proof that the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Go away with those words. Don't remember anything else if you will. I hope you will. But those are the words to go away with. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Amen.